Thank you for all the blessings you give us. Please be with us as we go through this service. May everything we do be of course thy will. And in Jesus Christ we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Birthday.
One thing I forgot to mention last week, and I want to mention it today, is while we were working on the church, we had somebody bring us a chili dinner, and we appreciated that. Gail said she was going to do it, but I think Brad said he's the one to cook.
Well, what I want to know is why didn't they have something done here the day before y'all? I was really
I told Brad so. So, and I
for
you
work.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Brother Lee.
Brother Lee, I have one prayer request this morning. I think she's on our prayer list, Joyce Walters. And I just, Jody just told me they don't expect her to live in a few more days. She's still, I think, in her home, but she's...
What was the name again?
Joyce Walter.
Joyce Walter.
She has been on our prayer list.
Yeah.
And she's over at the village.
The Willows?
Yes, we did, yeah. Yeah, Joyce Walter.
Uh-huh. Thank you. This reminds me of a fellow that was in a drugstore looking at reading glasses. And he'd try on one pair, and then he'd try another pair, and then he'd try another pair. And the drugstore clerk said, "It's really hard to get the right fit, isn't it?" He said, "It sure is, especially when you're buying them for somebody else." Let me make a couple of additions to our prayer list, in addition to Joyce Walter. Andrew is going to see the surgeon on the 19th of this month. That's this week. Today's the 16th, so that would be Wednesday, for surgery on his eye. And his sister Sean is doing well, but he's facing surgery with his eye. And also, Jody's neighbor, Bob Hughes, passed away. And she's asked for prayer for his family, because they have some special needs, and they will have a hard time. In addition to that, we have Freddie Orange, who has been diagnosed with cancer. He started his chemotherapy, but they've been having trouble keeping his blood level up, and he is in ICU now. Until they get him stable. So, prayers for Freddie Orange too, if you will. Your prayer list will take care of the rest of them, I think. Don't forget flood victims and Hurricane Ian victims. And remember that on October 30th, that's 2 weeks from today, we will have music by Saving Grace, singing duo from Danville. The Jewish people observe the Day of Atonement this month, and That's known as Yom Kippur in Hebrew. But the final verse of Leviticus 16 tells the whole story of it. It says, atonement is to be made once a year for all the sins of the Israelites. And the people who were affected by this was the Israelites. The Day of Atonement was a commandment given by God to the people of Israel who had a covenant with God. In contrast to that, Jesus' sacrifice covers the sins of all people, of all nations, throughout all history. John makes this clear in his first epistle when he says, Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So sin is a true pandemic, which means all the people. It covers all of us, and only Jesus' blood provides a cure that can cover sins and declare them forgiven, forgotten, forever. And that's why on the Lord's Day, we gather at the Lord's table to remember His sacrifice for us to atone for our sins.
Journey through this life on earth, we encounter so many ways that you bless us, but we also encounter so many things that we know is not pleasing to your eyes. And it is so hard to go through life and not participate in some of those things that we know is not pleasing to you. But you must have known that was going to happen because you provided us with a way to be forgiven for those sins. And when we do things like that, we have a checkered past. And because of you and your son Jesus, we don't have to carry that checkered past with us into the future. Because if we believe your word and we have a way to be forgiven for those sins, then we realize that it took your son Jesus for us to have that opportunity. And we partake of these emblems as we do every Sunday to remember that sacrifice. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you.
Dear Lord God, again, thank you for this glorious day you've blessed us with. Thank you for this wonderful church you have provided us with. Thank you for each and every blessing that you give us. As we bring forth this gift, bless both the gift of the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Me now in singing hymn number 275, Oh Happy Day. Let's turn then to number 495. and sing just the first and the last verses of Jesus Saves. Number 554 is the old rugged cross. Let's sing just the first verse of that as we stand and share in the Lord's Supper. Gracious Father in heaven, as we make our way through life, even when we're holding to your hand, sometimes we step off the path and get our new shoes muddy. Our sins trouble us, Father, but not enough. We try to do the right thing, usually. We pray for your guidance if we have serious problems. But our commitment is not consistent. We realize it, so we ask you to forgive our sins and deepen our commitment and make our faith a real thing. Help us to live each day as if you were living with us. Because you promised your Spirit would dwell in us. You promised that our Savior would return and take us to be with Him for the rest of eternity. So teach us how to live expectantly, growing each day in His grace and knowledge, becoming more like Him so that when He comes, He'll recognize us instantly and claim us for His own. Until that day, Lord, hear our humble prayers of gratitude and prayers of need. Accept our offerings and our songs of praise and send us out of here as blood-washed, committed believers in a risen Savior, because we ask all this in His mighty name. Amen. Anyone at all familiar with the New Testament can recall many occasions when Jesus promised he would return one day to gather his people and take them to a place he prepared for them. In many of his parables, he emphasized that his return would be sudden and unexpected, and that we should be prepared to welcome him at any time. Referring to Paul's statement in 1 Thessalonians, where he said, when the Lord comes, those of us who are left still alive will be taken up to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But Jesus was not the only one who promised that he would return. There's a passage of scripture I want you to hear from the first chapter of Acts. Jesus has risen. He's taken his disciples to a mountaintop. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who's been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way as you have seen him go into heaven. So there's a promise from somebody besides Jesus himself. He rose from the Bible. I have to be honest about this. I got the idea from this series of messages from a fellow in Indiana. He preached a series on Bible heroes, and I thought that's a great idea. But we've come to the end of the series. This is the last one. I think this world needs heroes. Champions of truth and justice who fight for what's right. Save the day. Yeah. I think there's a desire for heroes built into us. That's why superheroes and superhero movies have been so incredibly popular. The only drawback, of course, is that superheroes are not real. As real people with real hardships, we need real heroes to inspire us and encourage us and to show us what true heroism is. Lucky for us, the Bible is just full of heroes. They're coming off every page. For the last several weeks, we've been talking about some of them. Noah, who built an ark and saved the world. Abraham, the hero whose faith founded a nation. We talked about Jacob, the hero who wrestled with God. And Moses, the hero who led a nation out of slavery. And Samson, the anti-hero with super strength. We talked about Ruth, the heroine who left everything to follow God. David, the hero who slew a giant and became a king. Elijah, the prophet hero who performed mighty miracles. And Esther, the beautiful and brave heroine who saves her people from extermination. That's quite a list. And there are lots more of them. But through their faith in their all-powerful Creator, these heroes perform jaw-dropping miracles. And they ruled kingdoms and they rescued entire nations from destruction. They defeated giants. They toppled pagan temples. They stood up for what was right, even in the face of death. There were some pretty super heroes. And as we bring this series to a close, we're going to shine the spotlight on the greatest hero of all. I expect you know who that is. Let me refer to an interview with Ben Affleck. He's the actor who portrayed Batman. In an interview with USA Today, Ben Affleck made a keen observation about the popularity of superhero movies. He said, part of the appeal of this genre, I like that word, part of the appeal of this genre is wish fulfillment. Wouldn't it be nice if there were somebody who could save us from all this? Save us from ourselves? Save us from the consequences of our actions? And save us from people who are evil? I don't know if men realize it or not, but there is a hero who can do all that and more. It's not just wishful thinking. God knew that our world was in danger because of wickedness and wrongdoing and headed for destruction. So just at the right time, John says in the third chapter of his gospel, God sent his Son into the world to save the world through him. Here comes the rescue. Here comes the hero. As the Son of God, Jesus came to earth with, of course, he had powers and abilities far beyond those of any mortal man. Turned water into wine. He healed all sorts of diseases and disabilities. He commanded the winds and the waves. He fed thousands of people just by multiplying a little bit of food. He cast out demons. He even defied laws of nature by walking on water. There's a lot more to his heroism than just his mighty miracles. I couldn't possibly summarize the entire story of Jesus in one measure. And one message. You know that. But I'd like to spotlight three ways in which Jesus is the greatest hero of all. And the first way is that he is a righteous hero. You see, all the other heroes of the Bible had some pretty serious flaws. I don't know if you're aware of it, how much you've read the book of Genesis, but following the flood, after the ark came to rest and Noah and his family got out and life returned to some kind of normal, Noah got so drunk that he passed out. It's true. It's in the Bible. Abraham lied about his marriage, said she was his sister just to protect himself, and he slept with his wife's maid. Jacob started off as a con man. I mean, these folks had some serious flaws. Moses was a murderer. Samson slept with prostitutes. David committed adultery. And even Esther, sweet, beautiful Esther, hid her face from her husband. And the list just goes on and on. All of them had some kind of flaw. They were all sinners like you and me, and despite their heroic accomplishments, they still fell short. That's why Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we're honest with ourselves, we know that's true. We know we're not perfect. If you have any doubts about that, compare your life to three of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever taken anything that wasn't yours? A pen? A paper clip? A peanut? Anything at all? I have. When I was a kid, we used to steal cigarettes from the little corner grocery store. Thou shalt not lie. Now, anybody here that says they have never lied, just did. Honor thy father and mother. There's not a teenager alive who hasn't dishonored or disrespected one or both of his parents. If you're like me, you don't score so well on those three, and that's just 3 out of 10. We won't go to the others. We've already fallen short. The Apostle Paul was right when he said there's no one righteous, not even one. And that puts all of us in mortal danger. Because the Bible says when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. And the penalty and the price for sin is death. And since all of us sin, we're all doomed to die. That's when Jesus stepped in to save the day. As the Son of God, He remained perfectly sinless. The Bible says He was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet He did not sin. He lived a real human life, yet He did it with complete righteousness. In other words, Jesus always did what was right. Can you imagine that? At the beginning of His ministry, John tried to discourage Jesus from being baptized, but Jesus said, it's proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. He wanted to do the right thing. And He wouldn't let anyone stop Him from doing the right thing. When He's confronted with some of the rulers, the religious rulers in Jerusalem, Jesus said, which one of you can truthfully accuse me of sin? There weren't any honest accusations to make. In any situation, in any crisis, Jesus always did the right thing. That's why He and no one else could pay the penalty for our sins. The Bible says He never sinned, but He died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. After Jesus died on the cross, one of the Roman centurions who had nailed Him there on the cross said, surely this was a righteous man. He was right. Jesus' sinlessness qualified Him to pay the penalty for our sins and to rescue us from eternal destruction. In the Old Testament, when they had to bring a lamb to sacrifice for their sins, it had to be a perfect animal. No blemish, no spot, no crippling. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. And Jesus was the only one who's ever been perfect. He gave His life to save us, something that only He could do. He died on the cross to save us from ourselves, from the consequences of our sins. And what's more, through faith in Jesus, we can become righteous in God's eyes. The Bible says we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. That's a comforting thought. Forgiven for our sins and made right with God. Thanks for our righteous hero. But there's more. The next way in which Jesus is our greatest hero is that He is a risen hero. There's an old saying among comic book fans, I hear, nobody stays dead in the comics. You know, a major title character will die, and that really increases sales, but rarely do they remain dead. They somehow come back to life, and it's become sort of a cliche among comics that they'll be back. And the list of those who have died and come back has been astounding. Captain America, Batman, Robin, Green Arrow, Green Lantern, Spider-Man, so many of them. And this does happen in comic books. But you know, in real life, resurrections remain unheard of. With one notable exception, and that is Jesus. After His death on the cross, His followers buried Him in a tomb in a nearby garden. But the following Sunday, Jesus rose from the grave. And the story is told by Dr. Luke. He says, very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking spices they had repaired. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. So they stood there puzzled. Two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. And the women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. And the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. And over the next 40 days, Jesus appeared to his followers time after time to prove to them beyond any shadow of a doubt he was alive. And according to all 14 authors and 27 books of the New Testament, Jesus didn't stay in the tomb. On the third day following his death, he got up and walked out of the grave and defeated death. You see, that's something to celebrate. The Bible says death has no more power over him. In the last book of the Bible, Revelation, Jesus identifies himself by declaring, I am the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forever and ever. And that's a statement that needs to be highlighted. That's good news. The Apostle Paul wrote the same thing. Christ rose from the dead and will never die again, Paul said. Death no longer has any power over him. So we have a risen hero as well as a righteous hero. And there have been, over the years, there have been a lot of people who proposed ideas that would disprove the resurrection of Christ, but they never make sense. And all the evidence points to the fact that Jesus actually rose from the dead. Ignatius, he was a pupil of the Apostle John. He was martyred for his faith, but he wrote this about Jesus. He said, he was condemned. He was crucified in reality and not in appearance, not in imagination, not in deceit. He really died and was buried and rose from the dead. And what's more, since Jesus conquered death, we too can live forever. You read the book of Acts about the history of the early church, and when the apostles went out and preached, they always preached about the resurrection of Christ, because that proves who he is. And for those who put their faith in him, death is not the end. The grave isn't the final word. There's life beyond the grave. Now, other heroes can help us. Our police, our firefighters, our doctors, our soldiers might be able to rescue us from danger temporarily, but only Jesus can save our lives and keep us safe for all eternity, because he is our risen hero. And the third thing about Jesus is that he is our returning hero. 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus left this world and ascended into his Father in heaven. And Luke, again, describes this scene with words that I just read to you a few moments ago, but this is from a different version of the Bible. He was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. And since that day, Christians of every description have eagerly anticipated his return. The Bible says Christ will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. Are you eagerly waiting for the Lord? Are you really? The early Christians did. They spent their lives with one eye on the clouds and one ear listening for the trumpet call. They waited anxiously for the day of Christ's return. So should we. The Apostle Paul talks about it in 1 Thessalonians. He says, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout and the voice of the archangel with the trumpet of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves, and then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and then we will be with the Lord forever. Every eye shall see Him. Every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And all those who believe will be amazed by Jesus. When He comes again, the heavens will open like a curtain, and you'll see a figure so consuming that you'll know instantly who it is. Nothing else will matter. Forget the stock market and football games and election results and hurricanes and nuclear threats. It's all about Jesus when that happens. It's all about Him. It'll change everything forever. The last book of the Bible, Revelation, speaks of that day, saying, look, God's home is now among His people. God Himself will be with them, and they will be His people. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever. The return of Jesus will totally eradicate all evil. It'll take away violence, take away sin. In a new heaven, a new earth, the home of righteousness, we live with our heavenly hero forever. I can't even imagine what it will be like to behold Jesus with my own eyes when He comes. But until then, I choose to live with an eye on the clouds and one ear listening for the trumpet call of God. I hope you will too. Now the world needs heroes. There's no question about that. And the Bible is full of them. They didn't wear spandex. They didn't wear capes or fly around. They didn't inspire action figures or cartoon shows or summer blockbuster movies. They didn't become heroes because they were bitten by a radioactive spider or exposed to gamma rays. They were godly heroes. Ordinary men and women who accomplished extraordinary things through faith in their Almighty God. I hope this series has been a blessing to you. I hope the stories of these heroes have inspired you to be a little bit more heroic yourselves. Some of you are well on the way. But even more important, all these heroes of the Bible point us beyond themselves to the one true superhero, the greatest hero of all, Jesus Christ. He is and always will be the world's greatest hero because He's a righteous hero. A good and godly hero who always does the right thing. He is a risen hero who conquered death and rose from the grave to give us eternal life. And He is a returning hero who will come back one day to bring salvation and healing and wholeness to the entire world. Question is Jesus your hero? Have you asked Him to save you from sin and death? Have you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? If not, I'd love to see you step out today and declare your faith in Him. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation for you. And if you've already accepted Jesus as your Savior, as your own personal hero, then let's praise Him together as we stand and sing number 395, just the first and the last verses of Close to Thee. Thank you. I have to say a word of appreciation for the appreciation card that was given to me last week. All you folks signed it. Almost everybody that's here signed it. And I had a gift card in there for my favorite restaurant. I really appreciated it. Thank you. I want to tell you that today is National Dictionary Day, by the way. And it's also National Learn a Word Day. So get your dictionary out and get busy. It's National Department Store Day. It's World Toy Camera Day. Then there are two that probably have some interest for some of you here today. This October is Caffeine Addiction Recovery Month. And this month is also Squirrel Awareness Month. So be aware of squirrels. Let's pray. Here we go, Lord. Back into a world where we live for a while, waiting for our Savior to appear, trying to reflect the brilliance of His love upon those whom we meet along the way. Help us to shine brightly for Jesus' sake and in His name. Amen. Amen.